Please join us again next week for another edition of Eye on Islam. Assalamu alaikum.
In the limelight.
What we have seen in the past weeks, since October 7, is the debunking of the myth of the Zionist regime's military invincibility or intelligence prowess. They have been exposed to the world. The Palestinian resistance, backed by the axis of resistance in the region, inflicted crushing blows on the occupation, which eventually forced the Tel Aviv regime to accept a truce deal. The truce deal marks a significant victory for the Palestinian resistance and the disgraceful defeat of the Zionist regime's occupation. This is also a defeat of the US, NATO, and their allies. The situation today is the product of the long imperialistic ambitions of the West. We can see how the UN and all other institutions established to prevent such catastrophes have been rendered useless. The only real option is self-defense, self-determination, and resistance. That's what Palestine is doing. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Press TV noted, to grasp the significance of Palestine as an Islamic political symbol, it is imperative to develop a conceptual vocabulary that does not derive from Orientalism, defined as a discourse that assumes Western ideology or paradigm is universal and can be applied to understand non-Western phenomena. Additionally, it should not be territorially confined to the concept of nation-state. It is important to explore the possibility of asserting a form of sovereignty not constrained by Western vocabulary. So, it becomes necessary to operate within the confines imposed by this vocabulary. In other words, if the significance of Palestine as a political symbol is to be analyzed from an Islamic perspective, it is essential to develop a new vocabulary and grammar capable of addressing the specific needs of Muslims. The political symbolism of Palestine also serves to point towards the resurgence of the Muslim Ummah. Such a resurgence is not conceivable through a political grammar other than that of Islam. In other words, rallying around the symbol of Palestine signifies that the possibility of an autonomous political identity is attainable. The need to construct alternative grammar is crucial to give expression to the needs and aspirations of that autonomous identity. For instance, the resurgence of the Ummah aims at a power configuration not territorially confined to the dominant idea of the nation-state, which is a direct product of Western colonialism. In fact, one of the primary criticisms against the use of this new political grammar, which can be termed Islamism, has been its refusal to accept the Westphalian division. The Treaty of Westphalia, signed in 1648, which marked the end of the 30-year war and laid the foundations for the modern system of nation-states. The symbolism of Palestine, when viewed through the grammar termed as Islamism, allows for a departure from the nation-state and proposes an Islamic alternative that comprehends power differently, with its political dimension being the Ummah. It is evident that the Ummah is not a specific physical place, but a political one. It refers to the entire community of Islam, regardless of whether they are in a majority Muslim country or elsewhere. It can be said, therefore, that the Ummah represents the possibility of building a political identity based on the grammar of Islam, and the role of Palestine is to consistently remind that this possibility is real and feasible. This can only be achieved by rejecting the current configuration of the world, both in political and material terms, which is defined and articulated by the Western hegemony. In the latter, Palestine once again serves as a beacon for the Ummah. If the goal is to construct an alternative world, Palestinian resistance demonstrates that the ongoing struggle is one that unites both anti-colonialism and anti-racism. In the same way, the symbolism of Palestine serves to question the language of liberalism, particularly the limits of human rights within this framework. Nor can we forget how the centrality of Palestine and simultaneously the criticism of the Zionist entity serve to challenge the entire discourse of white supremacism, especially its objective of creating an ethno-national state. It is possible to say, therefore, that Palestinian resistance expressed in an ummatic language disrupts ethno-nationalist operations, not only in the occupied territories, but globally. Therefore, the struggle of the Palestinian people signifies a fight for rehumanization. Only this ummatic resurgence, based on an Islamic language, can imply an improvement in the living conditions of Muslims, both those residing in Muslim countries and those living outside. Palestine is a powerful symbol pointing toward this resurgence. Meanwhile, RT noted 6 weeks of death and destruction, which the Zionist regime and Western leaders declared should have led to the destruction of Hamas, have now bolstered the Palestinian movement's image throughout the world and beyond. Weeks of death and destruction, which the Zionist and Western leaders declared should have led to the destruction of Hamas, have now bolstered the Palestinian movement's image throughout the Arab world and beyond. The four-day truce that was implemented recently provided a sigh of relief for those most affected by the war in the Gaza Strip, but has in many ways spelled disaster for the Israeli government. Meanwhile, Hamas scores victory after victory from a guerrilla warfare and political perspective, while its military capabilities appear to have been undiminished so far. The Qassam Brigades, the armed wing of Hamas that launched their attack on the Zionist regime on October 7th, have managed to shift the world's attention back on the issue of Palestine, have freed political prisoners held in Israeli regime detention, while inflicting blow after blow against one of the military forces in the world.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. You are listening to Viewpoints on IRIB English Radio. I'm Attar, the host of this program. This series of Viewpoints is concerned with the thoughts and speeches of the Supreme Leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. With me in the studio are two experts from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Qasim and Sheikh Sadiq. Sheikh Sadiq, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum, very happy to be with you.
You're welcome, brother. And Sheikh Qasim, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Okay, for today's discussion, we want to talk about the important concept of hope. In a very short speech by Imam Khamenei, Sayyid Ali Khamenei, the leader of Iran, this important topic has been tackled, that what is hope and what is the true meaning of hope. Nowadays, I have to again refer back to these very important situations that we are living in during COVID-19. The people hope very much that the vaccination should be done and that the true medicine to this coronavirus is found. These are all hopes. Or the doctors and the nurses all around the world can help us. This is the hope that the people have. This is one type of hope. The other type of hope that we are looking for is the divine one. The type of hope that has roots in the divinity. All the people inside, I think they have a type of hope that one day something big will happen and the oppressed people, the mazlumin, the mustazafin of the people, will be helped out, okay? So this is the hope that this big generation army of the people who are day by day becoming poor, becoming more oppressed, have in the world. What do you think? I mean, this hope in a savior, it has its own negative effects, I think, too. One of the negative effects is that, okay, one day a big man, I mean a great man, will come and will implement justice in the world. So what are we going to do?
Yeah. Passiveness.
Here's the final hope. And we become passive in our lives.
Yeah, that would be one of the side effects of, or probable side effects of believing in the ultimate savior of the world.
Yes.
But I think that this also has been warned upon by the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salatu wasalam as well, that the awaiting or the intidar that we have to practice in the occultation of the Imam, it has to be a sort of active waiting and not a sort of passive one. So because we have this responsibility to prepare the ground and pave the way for him to come. Otherwise, he's not going to come. And this is what happened, so far.
That's right.
So I believe that we have to be aware of this, notion of active intidar, active waiting on Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salatu wassalam, which is a sort of engagement in the process of preparing the way for his return.
That's
Imam's
right.
return. I want to take the opportunity here to make a very important point, which is so actually crucial for us to, when it comes to such notions, like the hope and those sessions that we had before, which is a tafakkur or pondering upon these things. It's very important, we've been talking about the other day about the educating ourselves, and we talked about the ways that we can educate ourselves. I think this is another ingredient lacking from our lives, that we don't think about these things, The very reason that we're gathered here to talk about these things is that we sort of, push and encourage our listeners and ourselves before them to think about these things, to ponder upon these things. This is unfortunately what is lacking in many of our lives. Why? Because we are so much preoccupied with our daily lives, and those worldly affairs of ours, that we don't have the time to think, or we don't feel to think about these things.
That's
so
right.
I just wanted
even
to...
Even the radio show that we are doing now is a kind of preoccupation.
Yeah, and that's why, and that's why that the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam, and before that, the Quran itself, you know, emphasized on the importance of, you know, thinking at tafakkur. And you know, we have these traditions that a person who think about, you know, his religion and the situation he's in is more worth, I know, worthier than a person who you know, just worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 70,000 years. A person, ibadatu sa'atin. So just 1 hour of thinking and pondering upon these very important things, worth of, you know, worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a long time. So I think the result that we can get from these discussions, the most important one, that first of all, we have to think about these things.
Yes.
And we have to put aside the time and allocate the time for thinking about these things. And inshallah, we get to the best results.
Inshallah. And the hope for one final Savior to come and help us with using our intellect and mind will be fruitful. Without that, I think it is a kind of illusion. Isn't it? We have an elusive moments in our lives, and we are very much limited to these hopes around. I mean, hope that this person or that person will help us, this doctor or that doctor will help us. I mean, the final hope, we are losing it. Sometimes I think to myself that we as Muslims, from the early morning we wake up, we replace Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with these transient hopes around us. Is it really the mechanic who is going to repair my car? Or the doctor who saved me? Or, I don't know, is it the baker who is going to give me the bread, fill my stomach with that, the provisions? Whose hope am I leaning on? I mean, in whom am I going to trust? Isn't it all the people around? Okay? So instead of one God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have many gods and deities around us every day, hoping this or that person will help us. We're misplacing, I think, God in our lives, isn't it?
Of course. So this negligence that we're, unfortunately, we have about the role of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives. And, you know, actually the reality and truthfulness, or the mere truthfulness of this world, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and everything is, actually everything else is illusion. Okay. You know, this is what we believe.
Yes.
But unfortunately, you know, things get confused, and, you know, we change the way things must be for us. And I think the most important thing is that we do not ponder upon these things. Yes. We already know all these things. Yes. We believe these things. But since we don't care about, you know, pondering upon these beliefs that we have, just living our, unfortunately, negligent life, and we sometimes reach a point, maybe after 20 years, after 30 years, after 40 years, that we, you know, we do not see any reality beyond, you know, the world.
We lose our hope.
Yeah.
You know, I know so many people who have become faithful, very much faithful, but after 20, 30, 40 years, all of a sudden, in one moment, they lose all their hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah.
See what's happening.
I think it means that they hadn't had hope all along.
They had hope, but all of a sudden they gonna see, wasn't this type of hope that we had in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
No, it's because they didn't have the correct understanding.
Uh-huh, this is
they
point.
Didn't have iman
all along,
right? Because
this is very important. That's right.
Usually we think if the cause of something good that is happening is unknown, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It came out of nowhere. It must be God, right? But this one, it was just doctor. It was medicine.
That's right.
That was medicine. This other thing that I don't know why happened, that is God,
mm-hmm.
right? Because we have this understanding, we only have miraculous moments. Those are from God.
That's right.
But the ordinary moments are not God.
Okay.
This understanding, when you don't have a miracle, mm-hmm. when your son is... God forbid, sick.
Yes.
When your loved one is sick and they don't get cured, the doctor can't do anything, and you don't have that miracle, so Allah must be asleep, right? So the problem here is we don't understand that even the doctor, when the doctor is curing you.
Yes.
Even then,
he
is Allah means, subhanahu wa ta'ala.
He is a way.
Exactly. When Allah wants to do something, he does it through his means.
Yes.
Right? So that is...
Oh, that's the point. That's the point that we must not seclude ourselves from the ummah, from the people around us, okay? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put many of his blessings through these means, okay?
Exactly.
But the case is that, as you said, we have to correct our mindset. I mean that everything around us is a means that is getting to the final destination. I mean, the source and the destination both. And I think Allah is the way too, okay? Is everything. That's it.
We have two hadith.
Okay.
I think they help with this. One is, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, "Araftullah bi faskh al-azam." Right? So we think this is going to happen. We're certain this is going to happen. And Allah comes in and breaks everything, right? So that's one instance.
That's all right.
Where
even
Allah
even hope for a last savior to come,
yeah,
is at least under the shadow of hope to Allah. We should not,
yes,
replace the hope for
Imam Zaman. No one is going to be an idol.
Okay,
exactly.
Yes,
and the other hadith is hadith Qudsi. It's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, "La uqatta'anna amala kulla mu'ammilin ghayri." Whoever puts their hope in anyone besides me,
mm-hmm,
I want to make them lose hope.
Oh.
Because you're going to know. You're here to know me. You're here to know that everything is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's all
you're
right.
In dunya to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the boss. Right? So he's going to show this to us.
That's all through, right.
And this is his rahmah, actually.
Yes.
He's showing himself to us through different means.
This is a good warning for especially the religious people. All the hope that we have must be in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the means are over there. And these means
can help
us. You have
to go to the means.
Yeah, you have to go.
But you have to fix the mindset.
Yes.
Does that mean we don't get vaccinated? Does that mean we don't go to the doctor? We don't use medicine? No.
No.
We use everything.
Okay.
We do all the things that any wise person would do. But we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who decides the results.
Yes, and helping us, inshallah. We must not lose our hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have hope that one day the Imam of us, I mean the Imam of the Age, Imam Mahdi, will reappear. And we can see at least, and we can smell the fragrance of the true divinity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth, inshallah. May Allah help us in this regard to pave the way and prepare the ground for his reappearance. Thank you much, Sheikh Qasim and Sheikh Sadiq, for your presence in the program Viewpoints. And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to us. This is Viewpoints you're listening to. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/en. You can download for free our previous episodes of this program. Till another episode, God be with you. Fi amanallah.
The same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I when I have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong, a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
Food for thought.
Hello, everybody.
everyone, and since we're commemorating the days when Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, achieved martyrdom in the prime of her youth, here is a statement from her father, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was the noblest lady of the world of her time. But my daughter, Fatima, is the noblest ever lady of all times, from the beginning till the end.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish. City Gaza. People live in different parts of the world with different races, cultures, and beliefs. We also live in Gaza next to the Mediterranean coast. Gaza is one of the cities of Palestine. My city is considered the most dense city in the world with 2 million inhabitants. In the past years, this entire territory was called Palestine, but now there are only two small territories in the east and west, the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. Israeli occupiers have been looting our land for years and made life difficult for us. After elections, Hamas took control over Palestine's affairs, and the compromise strategy with Israel was officially rejected. We all reached an agreement that Palestinians should return to their cities. After elections, the Israeli occupation closed all the gates and crossings of Gaza. Even Egypt, which was our neighbor and shared borders with us, closed its crossings to us. They built a fence around our city, and this meant that people's necessities like food, medicine, and everything related to our life must enter and leave with the control and permission of the Israelis. 12 years have passed since Israel's measure,
and on the other side of the fences, the Israeli occupiers protect their own people with the heaviest weapons so they can be calmly busy looting our lands in the place that has been our homeland for years. But there is no peace in this side. Yes, here is Gaza, a part of Palestine. And these are my sisters and brothers who are defending this part of their land with their blood and stones. Palestinian men and women always protest, and the Israeli regime always kills them. I wish conflicts happened behind these fences, but the occupiers aren't satisfied with that. Three devastating wars were imposed on us in these years, 2008, 2012, and 2014. These recent wars and destructions wanted us to give up the choice we had made. But despite all the difficulties, the option of resistance is still our first and last option. Bombardment during day and night is a normal thing for us. But the ambulance siren, mother's grief, and father's sadness will never become normal for us. The Israeli occupiers confiscated our lands, burned the city, and did not spare even the animals. The only zoo in Gaza City was on Salahuddin Street. The animals were dying one by one. Finally, an animal protection group moved them out of the city. But anyway, the law of the jungle is sweeter for the animals than the law of the jungle of the Israeli regime. Yes, here is Gaza, a part of Palestine. Gaza is filled with stories, voices, tears, uneasiness, and life inside these fences. My life is one of the stories of this city. I have to travel abroad to treat my legs, but the fences don't let me. The closure of the passages that connect to Israel and Egypt and the sea borders don't let me go out of Gaza. I like Gaza, its beaches, its sea, its farms and call to prayer sound. I like to listen to the call to prayer that is played 5 times a day. I like the culture of the people of Gaza. I like the art and dabka dance. I like the culture of the people of Gaza. I like the Palestinian life and Palestinian mother's clothes. I like sparrows chirping and flowers' aroma. I like the soil of my homeland, despite all dark and difficult moments that exist here. I like to leave Gaza freely to participate in the tournaments. I like to see my compatriots free. I like to see the enemy defeated. We don't demand a lot of things in this world. We only want to have the right to life, like other people in the world. These children need electricity so they can study at nights. They shouldn't wake up by the sound of bombs and rockets during the nights. The rhythm of their mother's voices shall lull them to sleep, so they get up with hearing sparrows chirruping. This is what we want. We love our life. We love our life if we find a way to live it.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamu Alaikum. This is another episode of today's special by IRIB English Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. In this week, we're going to speak about the meaning of tawassul, or resorting to Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them all.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Today, Tuesday, 14th of Jamadi al-Awwal, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri Calendar, corresponding to the 7th of Azar, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri Calendar, and the 28th of November, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian Calendar. At this time, let's open Allah's book, the Holy Quran, and we'll listen to chapter Al-A'raf, verse 180.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Walillahi al-asma'ul husna fad'uuhu biha. وَذَرُوا الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ فِي أَسْمَائِهِ سَيُجْزَوْنَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ.
And to Allah belong the best names, so invoke Him by them, and leave the company of those who practice deviation concerning His names. They will be recompensed for what they have been doing.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
All the names of Allah are beautiful, and He possesses all the virtues and names. Yet in Islamic literature, emphasis has been laid on 99 names. It has been narrated that whoever calls on Allah by these names, his prayer will be answered, if it be the will of Allah. The objective meaning of calling on Allah by the beautiful names is not only to utter those names simply by the tongue and to say, for example, O Knower of the Unseen, O Almighty, and O the Most Merciful of All Merciful, but in fact the purpose is that we try to settle these qualities in ourselves as much as possible.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid.
And the continuation of today's special, what is the meaning of tawassul, or resorting to Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them? Tawassul is resorting to the divine saints and their formative authority and the power to seize them. Tawassul to other than Allah Almighty and asking for help from prophets, imams, and divine saints in a correct and legitimate way does not mean polytheism. Because in legitimate tawassul, we do not consider their dignity and power in answering prayers independent of Allah's permission and provision, just as we do not consider the rain falling from the cloud to be independent of Allah's will and permission. Divine saints are favored by Allah because of their piety and dignity, and Allah has made them the cause of mediator of His grace, and He arranges the world through them.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Today we are going to talk about the concept of tawassul, that is, resorting to the intermediary. They should not be called dead since they are alive, according to Quran. Thus, we can make tawassul to them the same way that the Shia of Moses made tawassul to Moses and he. This is again Al-Quran, chapter 28, verse 15, and he, Moses, went into the city at a time when people of the city were not watching. So he found therein two men fighting, one being of his Shia and the other being his enemy. And the one who was of his Shia cried out to him for help against the one who was of his enemy. Two things which distinguishes tawassul and shirk should be noted here in our discussion. First, we do not believe that the Prophet and Imams have any independent power from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second, Allah is the one who assigned the intermediate. The idol worshippers used a wrong intermediate, and that was another reason why it was condemned. Moreover, the idol worshippers believed that the idols can cause harm or render a benefit. Muslims are monotheists, and they know that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can cause harm or render a benefit. But calling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and imams with the understanding that they could only be an intermediary to Allah is not polytheism. All Muslims agree on this point from the time of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam up to the present day, except Wahhabis.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the infallibles, lessons from the life of the infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
Let's keep company with Ahlul Bayt and know more about this phrase, keeping company with Ahlul Bayt. Imam As-Sadiq had a servant who used to look after his mule when the Imam would go to the mosque. One day he was sitting beside the mule when a group of people came from Khorasan. A man from among them said, "Can you tell Imam As-Sadiq to replace you with me, and in exchange for this, I will give all my wealth The servant said, I should first consult with the imam. The servant came to the imam, told the imam the whole story. The imam said, if you are reluctant to serve us and that man is willing to do so, we will accept it. When the servant went away, the imam called him, saying, for your long services, I will advise you. When the judgment day comes, the Holy Prophet will be hanging from Allah's light, and Amir al-Mu'mineen Hazrat Ali will resort to Allah's messenger. The imams will resort to Amir al-Mu'mineen, and our followers will resort to us. They will enter where we will enter, and they will abide where we will abide. The servant said, no, I will not leave you, but remain at your service, for I prefer the hereafter to this world.
Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin Nabiyil Ummi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim.
Question, why is it necessary for the imam to be infallible? The Shia believe that imamate is a continuation of prophethood, the only difference being that the prophet is the founder of religion and receives revelation, while the imam is responsible for explaining, clarifying, and preserving religion. Therefore, the imam is equal to the prophet in everything except in receiving revelation. Everything that the prophet must possess, such as a profound knowledge of the fundamentals and branches of Islam and its teachings, are also possessed by the imam. One of those requirements being infallibility and invulnerability to sin and even error, since there is no way for us to be able to identify one who is infallible. There is no choice but for Allah or the Prophet to do so and introduce him, as goes with prophethood. Therefore, both prophets and imams have to be appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Then we go to 33:45, Surah Al-Ahzab, 33:45. Ya ayyuhan nabi, inna arsalnaka shahidan wa mubashiran wa nadhira. First, we have sent you as a shahid. Shahid of what? A witness on your nation, on their conduct, on their behavior, whether they truly followed you or they rejected you. The prophet would become a witness in the Day of Judgment, standing before God, and he will say, those people, either they followed me or they rejected me. We go to Surah Al-Mu'minun, chapter 23, verse 100, and we find the following. It says, حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتُ قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِي مَا تَرَكْتْ كَلَّا إِنَّهَا كَلِمَةٌ هُوَ قَائِلُهَا وَمِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ بَرْزَخٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. When a person dies, death is not a complete annihilation of the soul. The soul is being transitioned from one place into another. The body is going to disintegrate, no doubt about it. Although we have many narrations that says the bodies of the prophets, the imams, awliyaullah, the martyrs, the shaheeds, is going to be immune against disintegration. They're going to remain fresh. But the bodies of ordinary people are going to disintegrate, no doubt about that. But the soul is not going to go away. The soul remains there. And with the permission of God, on certain occasions, to certain people, on certain occasions, to certain people, God is going to allow certain people to communicate with the dead, with their souls. And the dead can communicate with some people who are in this life. So we believe, not only we, a huge number of Sunni scholars, they believe when you greet the Prophet, peace be upon him, he would answer your greetings. When you say to him, As-salamu alayka ya Rasulallah, he answers your greetings. He says, Wa alayka as-salam. We believe the imams. Ashhadu annaka tashhadu maqami wa tasma'u kalami. I witness that you can see me, you can observe my standing here before you, and you can hear what I am saying to you. So even the imam, infallible imam, he can hear his spirit, his soul, with the permission of God, with the permission of God, with the authorization of God, can hear you when you speak to them. So number one, they are not dead. They are not completely dead. The belief that they are completely dead, forget about them, don't talk to them, turn away from them. As Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab said, he said, my cane is better than Muhammad because my cane can be useful and Muhammad is dead. He has expired. We don't believe in that. We don't subscribe to that.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special. Thank you so much for your company, and till another episode and another meeting, we leave you in Allah's protection. Fi amanillah.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami, Lafata illa Ali, Aliyul Imami. علي إمامي علي إمامي
لا إله إلا الله الله ربي
محمد نبي علي إمامي
لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
A blinding flash of white light lit up the sky over Gaza tonight. People running for cover, not knowing whether they're dead or alive. They came with their tanks and their planes, with ravaging fiery flames, and nothing remains, just a voice rising up in the smoky haze. We will not spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight. Women and children alike, murdered and massacred night after night, while the so-called leaders of countries afar debated on who's wrong or right. But their powerless words were in vain, and the bombs fell down like acid rain. But through the tears and the blood and the pain, you could still hear that voice through the smoky haze. We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
Gaza tonight. A blinding flash of white light lit up the sky over Gaza tonight. People running for cover, not knowing whether they're dead or alive. They came with their tanks and their planes, with ravaging fiery flames. And nothing remains, just a voice rising up in the smoky haze. We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Israeli military shells Gaza City hours after the regime extended a temporary truce with Hamas, and the two sides exchanged captives. Palestinian children recently released from Israeli jails in a swap deal with Hamas say that they were severely beaten and insulted by the regime's prison guards. Also in the headlines, Israeli forces killed more Palestinians in the occupied West Bank, pushing the death toll from the regime's raids since early October to 230. Thanks for joining us. Israel has pounded the besieged Gaza Strip in violation of an extended truce deal with the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas. Israeli tanks fired at Sheikh Radwan, a district in northwest of Gaza City. The footage also showed smoke billowing into the sky over the Palestinian territory.